Chapter 11. A Conversation with Miles. When Mrs. Groves and the children returned later, Mrs. Groves came to my room to see if I was all right. "Did the children ask where I was?" I asked her.
"No," she answered. "They didn't mention your absence. They're very sensitive, you know, and they very much want to please you. They said that."
I had no doubt what that meant. The children often tried to please me when they felt one of the ghosts was near, or felt that I was getting too close to their secret. It was their way of trying to distract me. "I went home to be alone and to pack my things," I said. "I wanted to leave this house, but I wasn't alone. Somebody was in my room when I arrived home." Mrs. Groves stared at me.
"What do you mean?" she asked. "Who was it?"
"Miss Jessel was sitting at my desk," I answered. At first, I thought it was one of the servants, but it was Miss Jessel. She was sitting there with her head in her hands. She stood up and looked at me silently for at least a minute. She made everything very clear to me just by being there. I could feel her pain and desperation.
"But didn't she say anything?" asked Mrs. Groves.
"She said things without words," I answered softly. "I think she suffers the torments of the condemned. I believe that she wants to share her suffering with Flora. She doesn't want to be alone with her pain."
"So she wants little Flora?" asked Mrs. Groves in a frightened voice.
"I believe so," I answered, "but I'm convinced that Flora is not in as much danger as Miles. Quint is after Miles, and he's much more evil than Miss Jessel. I'm sure of that, Mrs. Groves. And I've made two decisions. I'm not leaving Bly, and I'm going to write to Lord Henry and tell him everything. I'll do it this evening."
"All right, if you think you must," Mrs. Groves answered quietly.
Then she left the room. I sat for some time that evening, trying to write my letter to Lord Henry. Then, suddenly, I took a candle, walked down the corridor, and listened at Miles's door. Why did I do this? I don't know. Today, when I look back on this time, I wonder if I was becoming a little possessed too. The atmosphere in the house was so unhealthy and very disturbing, and now I question my mental health at that time. Was I seeing things as they were, or was I starting to imagine things? I stood outside Miles's room, and there wasn't a sound from inside. At first I thought he was asleep. Then suddenly I heard his voice.
"Please come in," Miles said. "I know somebody is there."
I went into the room.
"How did you know I was outside your door?" I asked. "I didn't make any noise."
"No, you didn't, but I knew anyway," he answered. "I always know." I sat down on his bed, and I put my hand in his.
"Why aren't you asleep?" I asked. "It's very late."
"I haven't slept much recently," he answered. "I lie in bed and think a lot."
"What do you think about?" I asked.
"Oh, about the strange situation we're all in," he answered.
"What strange situation?" I said.
"The way you watch me."
"Oh, you know,"
he said, looking into my eyes. I didn't say anything for a minute, although I felt that my silence was like a confession. I knew what he meant, but I only said,
"You can go to school in September if you want. I'll start looking for a suitable one for you tomorrow."
Miles looked at me with a sad face. I was surprised. Wasn't he happy about my decision?
"Do you realise that you've never spoken to me about your last school and what happened there, or about your friends?" I continued. "Until this morning, you never spoke about school at all, and I thought you were perfectly happy with your present life."
"But I'm not," he
he answered. I really want to get away from here. Why? I asked. I'm trying to understand. Don't you like Bly? I like Bly, he answered. But... His eyes moved around the room. I want my uncle to come here. Then we can arrange everything. If Lord Henry comes here, he'll take you away from here, I warned him. That's exactly what I want, he exclaimed. Life will be better for me then. And you'll have to tell him everything, I continued. All the things you haven't told me. You can't return to your old school, you know. Oh, I know, and I don't care about that, Miles said. I want to go to a new school. I felt pity for him and worried about his future. In a few months, he would probably be sent back from the new school too and not be allowed to return. Are you sure you don't want to tell me anything? I asked quietly. There's nothing to tell, he answered. I just want you to leave me alone. I don't want you to watch me all the time. Suddenly, he looked very young, and I felt pity for him again. Don't you want to talk about what happened at school? I asked again. He looked at me questioningly, but he didn't say anything. Miles, I said, putting my arm around him, I only want to help you. I want to save you, but I need your help. The moment I said this, I knew I had gone too far. A sudden cold wind came in through the window. It shook the room and blew my candle out. I felt darkness come into the room. Miles shouted. It was a sound of triumph, or of terror, I didn't know which. I held Miles close for a moment, and I thought he was trembling. But then Miles laughed. I extinguished the candle, dear Catherine, he said. It was just one of my jokes. I didn't know what to think. I was very confused. A moment later, I left Miles and went to my own room. I wanted to be alone to think.